drunken stupor. I'm sitting here all alone. Just in a drunken stupor. Sitting here all alone. My pants are hanging on the doorknob, and where I hang my pants is my home. Y'all better know playing music is a rough life, and loneliness ain't no fun. Playing these honky tonks is a rough life, baby, and loneliness ain't no fun. I've been on the road all my life, and now my life is almost done. Oh, play the blues. The honky tonks was my home. Women's my education, people. Honky tonks is my home. You know, I just can't quit playing my music, people, 'cause these blues won't leave her alone. Bad, baby. Man, you don't know what it's like to be a musician, baby. It ain't easy, let me tell you, baby. It's a rough old life. People, it's just as bad as it can be. You know, ain't nothing but hard times.
Well, we're back now, part two of the Blue Power Hour, talking to Mr. Matt Lucas. Matt Lucas has been a friend of mine for a long, long time. I think I met Mr. Matt Lucas in 1965, down on 2nd and Blaine Street in the middle of the night. It was a strange time. It was a mighty time. We just heard Mr. Matt Lucas on his album, Back with the Blues, called Musician's Blues, that any of you people out there can relate to, the play an instrument. What was that line in there? Something about women.
Women was my education, and the honky-tonks were my home.
Women was my education, and the honky-tonks was my home.
And that's the truth.
Ain't it the truth? Because I know I've played my share of honky-tonks, but I'm sure Matt's been a lot more colorful joints than I have. Matt, I met you. You have Matt Lucas has one of the most amazing memories of any human being I've ever met. He can remember probably the day and the week that I first met him, but I won't put him up against the wall like that. All I can say is that I remember coming into my building, and it was a nighttime, and there was a couple people standing out front. How was it that you got to be there, Matt?
I was with my wife at the time. It was snowing, and man, it was cold in Detroit. And I think that I had got locked out of an apartment that I had across the street from the building that you had lived in. They used a term back then, if you don't pay the rent, man, we're going to peg the lock.
They pegged the lock.
And I got out of there, and when you came you came home that night in your T-Bird. I think I was shivering, man, and you said, Matt Lucas, the same Matt Lucas had I'm moving on, that giant hit and everything. I said, man, yeah. I said, I'm hungry. I ain't got no money. And I think my wife had a little baby then, too.
Did she really?
Yeah, but that's another story. I was driving through Toledo, and her water broke, and she had her baby in Toledo. That's just before I came to Detroit, and Toledo, you know, it's not that far from Detroit, John, and I didn't have the money to get the baby out of the hospital, in Mercy Hospital in Toledo, and so a disc jockey there, John Gary, who is probably still one of the top two or three jocks or radio personalities in Pittsburgh right now, gave me the money, loaned me the money to get that baby out of the hospital. And I got her out of the hospital, and I was so grateful that the hotel that I was staying in let me stay there without paying them for a while, that I named my baby after the hospital, Lorraine.
Wow.
So her name's Laurie. And then I was working nightclubs around there for Danny Thomas and his relatives had a nightclub called The Carousel. And I was doing shows there. And my backup band was Johnny and the Hurricanes.
You're kidding. That was Harry Balk produced that band.
Yeah. And I heard that Johnny Paris passed away.
Yeah.
I don't know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Harry was talking about that. Harry loved that band.
Yeah.
Red River Rock.
That's it.
But I met you, and you came. I remember you came and stayed up in my place for a few days, a few weeks. I don't remember how long it was.
Yeah, and I can remember like yesterday sitting at your upright piano making up songs. And I remember we made up a song, Sugar Mama. And
Speed Queen
about a gal taking those pills and getting great big eyeballs and a dry throat. And a fast heartbeat.
And some kombucha bats.
Yeah, the kombucha bats, man.
Your mother wears kombuchas.
Yeah. That was so much fun. And, you know, that was an interesting building, John, because, you know, you had your place down at one end, and then I remember at the other end, I thought, boy, this is a busy building. All these guys from the record business look so familiar because I see them getting off the elevator and they're walking down the hall. And I thought, boy, they must have some good friends down there. And I didn't know it, but at the end of the hall, at the other end, was a whorehouse.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I lived next to a couple gay guys. They were always fighting.
It's a strange building.
It was a strange building. The landlady was drunk all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I think after you left, Terry Knight moved in for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
Remember Terry Knight from CKLW?
I sure do.
And he and I fell in love with the same girl, and I married her. And from then on, Terry and I, from that point on, Terry and I had never talked since.
I know exactly what you mean.
It was a mighty time. Detroit was a special place in those days. And it was at that point that you met Ollie McLaughlin.
Yeah, I actually had met Ollie before, because when I came to Detroit, when I flew into town with When I'm Moving On was such a massive hit there, I was working shows with Barbara Lewis, one of Ollie's acts, and at the time she had Hello Stranger. So I was working all over Detroit with her and doing Robin Seymour show and Dave Prince and Joe Sebastian and Ernie Durham's Gold Room.
Doing the hops for Tommy Shannon.
Yeah. In fact, I remember working the Gold Room and you taking me down there, John, and you let me have a gold coat to wear in the Gold Room. And I remember that like yesterday.
I'd be damned.
And it's unbelievable the power of FM radio. FM was just starting to really happen at that time. And I remember we'd go down to the below the 20 grand there. And, man, they might have 2,500 kids lined up in there.
That's right.
And it was just fantastic.
20 grand, what a great club. I saw some great people there. I saw Joe Tex there.
Oh, everybody was there.
The greatest mic handler of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. So you now have been traveling all over the world playing.
Yeah, I have, man. This year, I've been all over the eastern and western Caribbean. Then in May, I went to the biggest rock and roll thing in the UK called the Himsby Festival.
Yeah.
Willie Jeffries, who has the Himsby Festival, was a little scared to get me over there because he'd heard so many crazy stories from my friend Ronnie Hawkins. Ronnie Hawkins spread those lies about me that he spreads about everyone, including himself. But you know something? It helped me get work.
That's right.
And so Willie Jeffrey called me and flew my wife and I over, picked us up at the airport, man, and chauffeured us all around, and we had a wonderful time. We had a ball. And I'm telling you, I flipped out in England. They love blue power. And they love real rock and roll, boogie-woogie, and the blues. And they can tell you the color of the label, the time of the year that it was recorded, who the sidemen were, and they are so deeply interested
temperature of the
in
studio.
Roots music. Yeah.
They know so much. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me. They know more about the artist than the artist does.
They're just wonderful.
They are.
And you know, John, it was like 1957 all over again,
yeah,
doing that show.
Well, listen, you know, it's an amazing thing to be able to travel throughout the world and have people know you and know you better than you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And how long ago was it that you were inducted into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame?
That was 2 or 3 years ago. And then I was also in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, Bob Timmer's Hall of Fame, Henry Harrison's Hall of Fame in Jackson, Tennessee, and the Rockville International Hall of Fame from the Netherlands was quite a surprise because I found myself listed on the internet. There's only probably 15 people in that Hall of Fame, which really, you know, it's very nice. And then I found out that I'd been in that Hall of Fame since about 1964.
I'll be damned.
From the Netherlands. And so it's just been a wonderful ride for me, man. Just
but the ride and now it seems like the ride is increasing.
It's so funny that people, a lot of people thought I was dead, or a lot of people thought I was in the nut house. They just didn't have a clue, man. And then all of a sudden, I think it was last year, year before, I made a couple of magazine covers. Mark Bristol and his wife Gabby up there in Duval, Washington.
Blue Suede News.
And Blue Suede News did a big feature on me that Howard DeWitt, the great writer that wrote the Harry Bock and Del Shannon book. And then I got the cover of a great magazine, Rock and Blues News, out of Sacramento, Lee Cotton. And then now Dig This Magazine over in England. I'm not getting as much press as Osama bin Laden, but I'm still getting my name mentioned out there.
My goodness. Let's see here. I'm going to have to, you know, I got this this XP unit here, and the damn thing is a real pain in the ass, and I hope Bill Gates hears this, because it drives me nuts, and I hope that doesn't print.
Yeah.
And we're still going here. So you've got, how many albums have you released in your career?
I'll tell you the truth, I don't know for sure, because I'm finding out that other people released albums that I didn't know I had out.
Yeah,
I would say probably 15. I'm guessing at that because I really don't know. I've got a brand new album that's in the it's in the pressing plant right now over in The Hague, over in Netherlands, and I'm super happy about that because it's on Redita, on the Redita label, which is a really classy connoisseur's label. It's going to have a 30-page booklet inserted inside by a great writer from the Netherlands that actually lives in Louisville, Kentucky now, Adrian Stoom, who's a wonderful guy. And
I've heard that name before. Yeah.
Oh, he's a great writer. Great person.
Excellent. So if let's go back to Back with the Blues.
Okay.
This something I used to like, wine.
I used to drink it, too, man, all the time. I love it. I've only had one drink I didn't like. That was Gluckenheimer's Rye.
You didn't like it, huh?
Didn't like it.
Should we play Wine, Wine, Wine?
Yeah.
Let's check it out. What do you say?
Okay.
I went down to New Orleans, everything was fine. All the cats drinking that wine. Drinking that Disco, drinking that ticket. Drunk, 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 higher than a cat to drink of wine, wine, wine. Just to me. Well, you can buy by the gallon, you can buy by the quart, you can buy by the case, you better get yourself small. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Drink that wine till you can't hold no more. You drink the wine, wine, wine. Wine, wine, wine. Wine, wine, wine. Pass that bottle to me. Drinking sweet wine and a sip of the gin. Nipping and a sip and then I'll do it all again. A drink of wine, wine, wine. Wine, wine, wine. Wine, wine, wine. Pass it to me one more time. Wine,
wine, wine. It's not the same as wine spody wody, is it?
No, it's I guess it's similar because that's about as similar, I guess, as I'm Moving On, which I actually got the idea from Hank Snow.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't that much similarity. You know, I forgot to tell you, John, after I'm Moving On became a hit, I think it was number one in Nashville, Hank Snow had a little music store down on Broadway in that little town. I went down there, man, and an old man was there. They had banjos on the walls, sheet music and mandolins and guitars. And I said, man, my name is Matt Lucas. I said, I got a big hit record of a song that I gave Mr. Snow credit for, I'm Moving On. Would he happen to be here? And he says, son, he's back in the back. I said, boy, I'd like to shake his hand. He said, well, give me a minute and I'll go back in the back. Well, he was gone about 2 or 3 minutes and he came back and he said, son, Mr. Snow don't want to meet you.
Was there any reason for it?
I never did find out.
Never did find out.
No, but it really, it hurt me because, you know, I gave him the writer's royalties off of that doggone thing. And plus, I always liked Hank Snow, you know.
Yeah.
I liked it. He has a great songs. And,
yeah.
But it really hurt me when he wouldn't come out and shake my hand.
My goodness. I don't blame you. But you know what? Those old bastards, man, they were some strange guys.
Man, they sure were.
They were some strange guys.
I worked with quite a few of the hillbilly guys, but I tell you, I have to hand it to them. Whether you liked them or not, you knew who they were.
Absolutely.
Now they all sound the same to me, John.
That's right. They
it's sure like do. It's all homogenized.
And music has become homogenized.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to bring it back.
We do.
Got to put a little joy back into
well,
it.
Well, man, you're doing it.
Yeah, well, we certainly are trying. There's a bunch of people out there that are working at it. There's the R&B Primer, or Primer, as they say in England, a great website. There are a lot of great, the Dorset Blues Society from Dorset, which is, they have an amazing site. that if you ever get a chance, you should check it out. But, I mean, England is an amazing place for blues, rhythm and blues. It just it keeps growing all the time.
Oh,
the Northern soul scene is amazing.
I couldn't believe it, John. When I was in Detroit, one of the things that I recorded with down at United Sound with Ollie McLaughlin was a song called Baby, You Better Go-Go. We had trouble getting the record played in Detroit, and that was the last I heard of it. Then Ollie called me and he said, Matt, he said, that record is getting played. He said, them cats over in England, man, they're playing records at record hops like discos, and the records are selling off of it. Well, next thing I knew, man, I get an email from a guy in England down by Dover, and his name is Pete Smith. And he says, do you have a copy of Baby, You Better Go-Go? I said, well, yes, I do. I said, I have one. It's pretty scratchy, and I think it's got a little chip missing. He said, Matt, he said, I'll give you $500 for that record.
I'll be damned.
He said, would you part with it? I said, when can you get me the money? Well, anyway, he did send the money, and he said, I just want it to frame. I thought, man, is this cat nuts? Well, when I went over to England, I did the Kev Roberts show. This guy has like a million listeners at least. And then the BBC did a couple shows on me, and a guy that values records, John Manship, who also is a fan of your Blue Power thing, said, Matt, he said, do you have any copies of that record? I said, well, I had one, I sold it. He said, do you have any idea the value of that record? I said, yeah, and I'm happy to say I sold it for $500 U.S. He says, Matt, that record is worth, in good shape, £1,750, which is about $2,200. He said, I hope you got a whole garage full.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, there's people have offered me for acetates that I have. And, you know, original pressings, test pressings, a fortune. But, you know, I just can't, I can't sell them.
Yeah.
They're like my babies. I can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's why my garage is the way you saw it tonight.
Right.
You know, just loaded with boxes full of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we just played from Matt's Back with the Blues album, Wine, Wine, Wine. Now, Matt and I used to throw down a few things and do a few assorted drugs and alcohol.
Yes.
We went out, had a lot of good times in Detroit.
I think we were guinea pigs.
Absolute guinea pigs. And we were talking earlier this afternoon that Halloween had special implications for you.
Yeah, I was working a little, I guess I could say a mafia nightclub in Tampa, Florida, about a block up from the Highline track on off of Dale Mabry in Tampa. And I was drinking my usual 40-ounce J&B scotch that I drank every night since I was about 13 years old, not counting pills. And I wanted to quit drinking, John. I wanted to, because I couldn't drive a car unless I drank at least a fifth down, because I couldn't drive straight. I couldn't walk straight. I couldn't talk straight. And the only time I got sick is when I wasn't drinking. So, man, I knew something was the matter. If I'd go to a movie, I had to carry a flask. And then I'd have to get up to go to the bathroom because I'd start shaking in the movie. Then it got to where the flask wasn't big enough, so I had to carry a briefcase to the movie because I had at least 2/5 or 2 40-ounces of scotch in there. So it got to where I couldn't go to any more movies. So I wanted to quit drinking, and I went home that night over to St. Petersburg where I was living. And my wife at that time was standing in the doorway. And I thought, what's going on? My wife said, Matt, your daddy died. So I thought, Lord, man, if I can get through this, if I can go up to Missouri and get through this funeral, I'll never take another drink. And I went up there, and I made it. Barely, but I made it. Because it was, you know, a funeral's an awful thing.
Heavy duty.
Yeah, and I had a bottle with me. And I went in the bathroom there, John, and it was a spooky place, man. They had the bluest fluorescent light flicking, and I looked in the mirror, and I looked blue like I was dying. And I took that bottle, man, and I put it in a waste paper basket. And I went back out, they closed the coffin on my dad, and we went out and buried him. And I honestly can say I haven't had a drink, a scotch or hard liquor, since 1983.
Wow. 1983.
Quite a while ago.
That's a long
Halloween
time ago.
Night, 83.
And you've been straight ever since.
Pretty straight.
And your life has managed to turn around.
Oh, man, I tell you, I have never been as happy or as satisfied in my life. My first, from being born to the time I was about 50 years old, I was completely loaded, zonked, stoned. Alcohol, booze, pills, you name it. And then when I quit drinking, before I quit drinking, I met a little gal up in Pittsburgh. I was working up in Pittsburgh, and she was the executive secretary in a hotel I was working at. And I was married. She was married. And unbelievably, I really fell in love, but fell in love. I got sober, I dropped the pills, and I thought I was going to lose her, and I had a happy marriage because it was just a marriage of like a brother-sister relationship. My wife at that time, whom I'd met in Toronto, had three massage parlors. It was quite a gal. She gave me an allowance of $100 a day, bought me a new Mustang, and so I thought, man, you know, I'm a fool's paradise. But she wanted me drunk all the time.
She wanted you drunk, huh?
Yeah. So I obliged her for a long time, but finally I thought I was going to lose my little gal, Barbara,
you
from Pittsburgh.
And she's sitting right here with you tonight, isn't she?
Best thing that ever happened to me, man, I'm telling you. You know, John, a lot of folks, you know, I work some of these, well, the Rockabilly Hall of Fame things and all the old guys from Sun Records. And, you know, I used to go over to Sun with Jerry Lee and Norvell and Billy Lee Riley and those cats. And I'm in that book, The Sun Records Story. They offered me a deal on Sun, and I said no. I don't want to be on Sun Records. A lot of people thought I was nuts, and a lot of people don't believe me. But Judd Phillips, who was he was the man.
Nobody ever talks about Judd.
Judd is a great guy. I knew him. I was so drunk with Judd Phillips, man. We've been all over the place. He was a wonderful promotion man. In fact, probably the best promotion
man.
Man, he knew every disc jockey. He knew every hooker. He knew what every disc jockey drank. He knew the one-stops. He knew how to promote a record, and he was a great guy.
He really was.
And Judd, actually, he managed Jerry Lee for a long time as his road manager and traveled with him. And Judd was a wonderful guy, man, just a wonderful guy. But I didn't want to be on Sun because I was on Mercury. Why would I want to go?
Why would you want to go what you considered backwards?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that kind of gets me a little bit, these guys. Hey, man, I was on Sun. And then they worked at a shoe store for 35 years.
Wow.
And now they're out making a couple of $1,000, $3,000 a night.
I know.
And they say, Matt Lucas. I say, where you been? We thought you was dead. Well, I'll tell you, Matt Lucas worked 15 years, 5 shows a night, 6 nights a week on cruise ships out of Miami.
Fantastic.
And I worked hard, man. I worked hard all my life. Yeah. I didn't have time to be a star. I want to get out there and make a living.
Had to make a living.
And then when I met my barber, man, the only way I get her out of Pittsburgh is I got her a job on a cruise ship. And we sailed away.
Well, I got to tell you something, Matt. You look mighty good.
I'm feeling good.
You look mighty good, and it's really a pleasure to see you, man. And, I mean, it's been a long time. We go back a long way together, and I'm mighty proud of you, man, and I'm so happy with the success that you're having now and that you always had the ability to entertain, but now people are asking you to come and do it. You don't have to go look for the gigs anymore. Well, maybe you do. But what I'm saying is, like, you're
the phone's
historic.
The phone's not ringing off the hook, I'll tell you that.
I tell you what, you know, you just keep making records.
Well,
like
I'm going to, and I'm so grateful for Blue Power and for you, man, after all these years. And your show, the popularity of your show is tremendous. And, you know, the stuff you've been playing, no one's heard this stuff before.
That's right. Well, we're going to play... Let's go out with something from the Shockabilly album.
Okay.
What would you like me to play?
Well, how
what
about,
do you think?
How about another train song? How about the Junior Parker Mystery Train?
You got it.
Train, trainy,
baby. Send that sweet young girl home back. Step on the gas, man. Oh, I'm looking out the window. Man, I miss my baby so much. Woo-hoo. Step on the gas, engineer.
In the Blue Power Hour, and we're very fortunate tonight to have Mr. Matt Lucas and his wife Barbara stop by the studio and chat with us a little bit. Matt is on his way to Hawaii and for a well-deserved vacation after working so hard. Matt, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much, John. I just want you to know something that, Lord, you know, I have paid my dues. And that's why, John, I got to sing the Blue Power Blues.
All right. My man, Mr. Matt Lucas, thank you so much for coming by. God bless you all. And listen, everybody, remember to listen and tune into Smokestack Lightning. You can find it on the front page of Blue Power. Just look for the lightning bolt and click on it and to listen to the best blues in America. Thank you, and God bless you. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Good night.